Welcome to B2B Commerce Corner. Commerce Corner is a sub-series of the E-Commerce Edge podcast discussing all things B2B commerce through the lens of agencies, consultants, merchants, and more. Enjoy. Hey team, so Forrester have just dropped a brand new 2024 State of B2B E-Commerce report. And I wanted to discuss what's in the report, give my take on some of the stats that they found and some of the research findings that they found, and give my take and my thoughts on where they're coming at this from, how they arrived at perhaps some of their numbers, and what that means for us, that for those of us that work in the B2B e-commerce space. Now, straight off the top, this is a bought and paid for research paper by Forrester. It was commissioned by ZooView, which is a search and merchandising platform. I've got nothing to do with ZooView for transparency, never used their platform. I haven't even featured them on the podcast before, so I really don't have any insider knowledge of ZooView. But Forrester will oftentimes undertake research on behalf of platforms that are working in a given space or category to, I guess, help push their agenda, help to justify spend by brands on their technology. And so you can take these research reports with some level of a grain of salt because they have been commissioned and obviously they are designed to arrive at a very specific outcome or specific result. But we can also dig a little bit deeper into the raw data and some of the findings to see what can apply to us or what we can learn from this, despite the fact that obviously this is almost like I almost think of these as like a advertorial, right? Oftentimes in advertising, we'll have something that looks like an information piece, but it's actually largely an under the bonnet, an under the radar sales piece. And that's oftentimes what these Forrester reports can end up being, especially when they're commissioned by a commercial business, again, to arrive at a specific conclusion. But let's dig right in. I think there are some interesting stats in here. This is one of the first reports, research reports that I have seen about B2B in this early part of 2024. And this report was released in late January of 2024. So it's pretty current. It's less than a month old. So let's dig right in. So what they've got, an executive summary here. They've got some key findings. Just going through the outline here, they also say that the B2B e-commerce status quo is bad for business, but many fail to adapt. I would agree with that. Product discovery suffers because of poor data strategies. This goes back to pushing the ZooView barrow, because obviously they're a search and merchandising platform, and they'd like to be able to help you with that as a brand. And another one of their key table of contents items here is effective data strategies drive business success, and then key recommendations and an appendix at the end. Now, the project team from the Forrester side of the house here is Lane Abernathy, which is a demand generation consultant, and Alex Martini, also an associate demand generation consultant. The two project team leads here are all about demand generation. So this alludes to the commercial underpinnings of this particular report, but there was also contributing research provided by Forrester's Consumer and Digital Research Group. And that is these findings and this research that I am most interested in. Now, when they talk about the executive summary here, they give an overview, and it says basically, in general, B2B sellers have yet to digitally transform their selling operations from self-service online shopping, known as e-shops, to digitally enabled sales teams that collaborate directly with buyers and everything in between. And I would agree with that statement. In general, B2B sellers have yet to digitally transform their selling operations. And when we look at the CAGR, or the compound annual growth rate forecast up until 2030, depending on the research that you look at, somewhere around 20% compound annual growth rate for B2B e-commerce between now, as of 2024 and 2030. And B2C, D2C is forecast to be around that 2.5% to 3% CAGR. So we already know that there is massive growth opportunity in the B2B e-commerce space, but this research that they call out here bears that out in a significant way. Now, they also call out who that they polled, or who did they get to respond to the questionnaire that they sent out, and where is this research derived from? So it says, in January 2024, ZooView commissioned Forrester Consulting to evaluate the state of B2B e-commerce and product discovery. To explore this topic, Forrester conducted an online survey of 413 decision makers. at the director level and above, with responsibilities for consumer or product data strategies at companies in the United States and Europe with at least $200 million in B2B e-commerce revenue. So we're definitely talking about the upper echelon of B2B retailers and B2B sellers here. $200 million in existing B2B e-commerce revenue. So we're talking kind of the cream of the crop here. If you are a B2B brand and you are doing $200 million worth of B2B e-commerce revenue, you are definitely not small fry. You are getting up there in terms of size and scale. So it was interesting that they were able to even find 413 decision makers at the director level and above at companies in the United States and Europe with at least $200 million in B2B e-commerce revenue. So the study found that the solution is not to simply repurpose a B2C e-commerce or e-shop platform and without fundamentally transforming all product discovery and sales processes, applying new software to an old way of thinking will never pay off. And before organizations can begin to transform their e-commerce operations, they must first solve the data problem. Excellent data and effective data management are unavoidable prerequisites many organizations never move past. And I can absolutely validate this. When I go in and I begin to consult with B2B merchants, one of the first things that we do is we look at a sample of their product data. And 9 times out of 10, they have massive issues with their product data. And this can range all the way from gaps in the product data to where sometimes they will not have very much product data. They might only have what comes out of their ERP. So they might have a name, they might have a SKU, they might have a short description, maybe a price, and maybe an inventory level. But that's honestly about all that sometimes comes out of an ERP. So unless a B2B brand already has an existing PIM system, product information management system, oftentimes they have big gaps in their data. The other things that I'm seeing with issues in product data for B2B brands are inconsistent hierarchies of data. So inconsistent structured data, inconsistent unstructured data and attributes around products. And also I'm looking at oftentimes finding inconsistent categorization of products. So they can be all over the show from a categorization perspective. And therefore, that leads to really difficult search experiences on e-commerce websites when B2B brands start to try to create these digital experiences online through e-commerce. If they have massive issues, gaps, messy product data that is inconsistent, is not structured properly, inconsistencies between parent and child product relationships, inconsistent product relationships between cross-sells and upsells and substitutions and the like, you can run into absolutely massive problems when you try to put these catalogs online for the customers to search and buy from. So usually when I go in and I'm consulting with clients, one of the first things we have to do is to take a long, hard look at their product data and oftentimes go through a fairly extensive cleanup process and harmonization process and validation and rationalization process across all product data. Now, the unique situation with B2B products is that price is not usually a facet or an attribute of the product. It is an attribute of the customer. So typically in the B2B world, the B2B customers will either be in tiers or they'll have 4 or 5 pricing tiers, depending on various criteria, and that each one of those pricing tiers will have a unique price list for the catalog. Or, and what is more often than not the case, every single B2B customer will have their own dedicated price list with unique pricing across the board at SKU level. So that's something that we look at when we start looking at customer data instead of product data. We start looking at the structure of prices as they relate to SKUs, variants, and the like, and we have to clean that up as well. But as it relates specifically to product data, there are many issues out in the B2B world around product data, particularly where a brand has never done e-commerce before. And so a tremendous amount of that product data can live in printed catalogs, it can live in PDFs, it can live in exploded diagrams, it can live in CSV files, it can live in sales reps' heads. There is just so much product data out there that is not in any meaningfully structured way that is useful to be brand, that oftentimes that is where we need to start when we start thinking about taking a B2B brand online, especially for the very first time. Okay, just moving on down this report here, it says that they had some key findings here. And one of the key findings is if you want to have world-class product discovery, you'll have to buy it. It simply requires too much compute, too much machine learning, too much R&D brain power for most companies to successfully pull it off on their own. This is an excellent opportunity to focus on core capabilities, smartly outsource and outpace competitors who are stuck in the old ways. So I would say that's likely true. When we think about search, merchandising, personalization, you're going to need a technology platform to be able to do this at scale across all of your customers, price lists, and all of your product ranges. However, what I would say is that it's often the case of garbage in, garbage out. So regardless of how much you spend, regardless of the most cutting edge technology that you might implement around search, merchandising, and personalization, the reality is these platforms can't conjure up information out of thin air. There are third-party services that can help you enrich your products with structured and unstructured product data that can then be fed into these search and merchandising platforms, but they have to have data to work with in order to perform well. So it really doesn't matter how much money you spend and how much time you spend implementing a search, merchandising, and personalization platform. If the product data is incomplete, inaccurate, has gaps, has major issues around structure and consistency, then the search, merchandising, and personalization experience is going to be second rate at best. So you're better off starting fixing your product data first before you go and spend a whole ton of money and a whole lot of time and effort implementing these cutting edge product discovery platforms. The next finding in the report was that digitally transforming B2B sales will impact human-centered selling in addition to pure e-commerce. And look, I think this kind of goes without saying, right? Sales reps are not going to go away anytime soon. But what they are going to be replaced with is digitally enabled sales reps. So instead of these sales reps simply doing a whole lot of manual activities like receiving faxes or emails from their customers with orders attached to them, and then they have to manually key those into an ERP and other what I would consider admin tasks associated with servicing their customers. When we start to move to an e-commerce first, a self-service e-commerce first experience for our customers, that frees up salespeople to spend their time doing a lot more value-added things, going out and finding new customers, building relationships with existing customers, going and spending time with them, going and visiting them on site, showing them new products in person, demoing products in person, talking about what new products are coming down the pipeline that might interest those customers. So instead of just doing this manual order management process and this manual management of assisting customers to have product discovery by maybe even taking out swatches, let's say you're selling flooring or curtains or whatever it might be, instead of having to take these things out by hand to your customers, you can create and curate custom quotes, custom recommendations, custom product catalogs for your customers through the e-commerce experience. So really what we're talking about is not replacing sales reps or sales teams. They still have a very important part to play in the B2B world, as does the customer service teams, as do the customer service teams out there that oftentimes take a lot of phone orders as well in B2B businesses. What we're trying to do is we are trying to allow, particularly from a reordering perspective, particularly from a reordering and replenishment perspective, we're trying to enable customers to be able to do this completely on their own with no human intervention from the B2B brand side, so that the brand owners and their team members can improve the service and experience that they're providing to those customers instead of just doing a whole bunch of admin work. So one of the next findings here is that e-commerce and product discovery suffer because of poor data strategies, as I've already alluded to. And it says B2B leaders must diligently work to bring their data and data practices to adequate levels. Again, that's in line with what I've seen and what I help brands with every single day. And another finding is leaders expect huge benefits from investing in AI-driven advanced product data and discovery platforms. And it says if B2B sellers can truly get their data house in order, they stand to benefit greatly from investing in advanced AI-driven product data and discovery. Couldn't agree more. But you got to get the horse before the cart instead of the cart before the horse. What are some of the other findings that they had? Look, they, of course, talked about the fact that COVID-19 forever altered life, work, and commerce. Most companies acted as if digital transformation was optional prior to COVID-19, applying technology in dribs and drabs. That's absolutely true. That's what I saw. I saw that COVID put an absolute rocket underneath most B2B brands, and they realized that they were not ready to execute on digital channels as their primary go-to-market channel model and channel mix. And they realized, geez, we've really got to get this together. Now, when we start looking at the specific data points that they have found, again, going back to this 413 data operators and strategy decision makers, that's director level and above, one of the findings was B2B sellers are missing huge growth opportunities because e-commerce is floundering. And 65% of respondents reported that e-commerce is broken at their organization. So it's phenomenal to think about the fact that $200 million and above e-commerce B2B brands are still 65% of those operating at that level still say e-commerce is broken at their organization. Hey team, I have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening. That is a phenomenal statistic. This is probably the statistic that blew me away the most. You would think that at a company that's doing $200 million or more a year in e-commerce, B2B e-commerce, that they would have e-commerce absolutely dialed in. And that is simply not the case. So if you are a B2B brand and you are doing no e-commerce today, then don't feel too bad, because if a $200 million plus e-commerce brand, $200 million a year plus e-commerce brand can say that their e-commerce is broken, maybe you can leapfrog them in terms of capability by implementing e-commerce right way, first time, and making sure that you have an adoption plan to make sure that your customers are actually using e-commerce within your organization, both internally with your sales teams and customer adoption. So I think that this is, it should give a bit of comfort to some of those B2B brands out there that are way behind the eight ball when it comes to e-commerce. And another one of their findings, it says today buyers expect experiences that feel more personalized and relevant, which we all know. These B2B buyers, most B2B buyers today, an increasing percentage of those are digital natives, which means that they are shopping every single day in their B2C and D2C lives, and they're shopping online, they're shopping through Amazon, they're shopping through D2C websites, they're shopping with their favorite brands, and they have a certain expectation, an absolute minimum expectation. And in many instances, even that minimum expectation is not being met by their B2B suppliers in their day job. So massive gap to bridge there by B2B sellers. Now, another finding here is it says data is the stumbling block. For 74% of the surveyed leaders, their organizations need to digitally transform the B2B selling motion by optimizing e-commerce experiences. Now, again, I'm staggered by this number. 74% of the surveyed leaders need to digitally transform the B2B selling motion by optimizing e-commerce experiences. And you would think if they're doing those kind of volumes through their e-commerce channels, that they would have a highly optimized digital selling motion all the way from the customer finding them through, say, for example, a Google search when they're looking for suppliers of those specific goods that those brands sell, creating an opportunity where those buyers can create an account through the front end of the e-commerce website without having to reach out to the brand and fill out a massive form and get credit approval first. So this whole brand discovery process, similar to the B2C and D2C world, right from that point onward, we need to be removing the friction from the buying experience. So a lot of B2B brands, they make you sign up, they make you have an account with them before you can even see the catalog. So what I try to recommend that a lot of B2B brands do is they take a bit of a hybrid approach. Maybe don't show prices, maybe don't show availability, maybe don't show absolutely everything, but show all or part of your catalog so that at least now you get picked up by Google for those long tail keywords associated with your products. And then when a customer or a potential customer comes to your website, they can browse your catalog online. Again, don't necessarily have to show them prices, don't necessarily have to show them inventory, but show them that you have these products. And perhaps show them that you actually have them available. Again, don't have to show exact stock numbers, but do you have it in stock? or don't you? And then from there, they can decide whether they want to take the next step, which is to fill out, say, for example, a trade account application form. Or what you could do is you could allow those customers to create an account on the front end, see the most expensive prices that you have available, see the most restricted catalog that you have available, and perhaps only pay via business credit card without being on a credit account with you. So there's lots of ways to slice and dice this to improve the selling motion by these B2B brands by introducing these frictionless or as friction-free as possible digital channels into the mix. Some of the other findings here, data hygiene is more important to improving e-commerce than many companies realize. And the study found that B2B leaders have three overarching business goals. Grow their revenue. 81% of respondents reported it's a critical or important priority in the coming year. So in other words, what's happening here is that e-commerce is expected to do more and more of the heavy lifting as a sales channel. So we know that for most B2B brands, when they implement B2B e-commerce, it starts to take the heavy lifting off of the sales teams. It starts to take the heavy lifting off of our customer service teams. And it puts that into a digital channel that is largely self-service and has a tremendous amount of automation associated with it, which means that not only can we grow revenue if we can secure customers that would normally only buy through us online if we had that channel available, but many brands don't. And so they miss out on certain customers, a certain percentage of customers that will only buy from B2B suppliers that have a e-commerce channel for them to buy through. Not only can we go out and get new customers and acquire new customers through these digital channels, but we can do it more efficiently and we can also service them more efficiently and quicker. So the reality is we can grow revenue, but we can also grow revenue more efficiently through e-commerce channels. So that ticks that first box. The second requirement that they say in their findings here is that they need to improve the customer experience. And 79% of the respondents reported that it's a critical or important priority in the coming year. It goes without saying that if a B2B buyer in their on their weekends and for their hobbies, if they're doing all this buying online anyway, it stands to reason that they would have that as an absolute minimum baseline expectation for their day job of buying online for their businesses. And so it's the reality is we need to not only be doing what the D2C and B2C world have been doing for, you know, doing very well for a very long time, but we have to do it even better. And we have to bring additional functionality to the table because B2B customers need more information when they're buying. The products tend to be more complex. They need to be able to see their pricing levels. They need to be able to see MOQs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not just trying to be as good as D2C or B2C, but we're trying to be better in many respects, or at least tailored for the B2B buyer. The third finding here, leverage technology that improves operations to support the other two goals, whether that's becoming more insights driven. 72% of respondents want to become more insights driven. Automating sales operations, 68% want to automate sales operations, or reducing the cost of the selling motion. 67% of respondents want to reduce the cost of selling. So absolutely bringing automation to this, bringing self-service to the table here becomes a critical function if you want to reduce cost of selling. Okay, so e-commerce impacts all these goals, as we found. And it says companies are prioritizing digital transformation of sales with these initiatives by doing the following three things: providing more automated and personalized guidance to online buyers, which is a critical or important priority for 80% of respondents, driving more of their overall sales to e-commerce channels, a critical or important priority for 71% of respondents. I just want to speak to that second one there real quick. So when we think about adoption, when we think about getting a greater percentage of B2B sales into the e-commerce channel, there's a number of different ways to be able to help this happen and to help this happen at scale and with velocity and with momentum. First of all, there's straight up incentivizations, not only for the customer, but for the sales teams. And so one thing that I've seen work really well is to say, well, sales teams, not only are you not going to lose your commissions if customers purchase through the online channel, you're still going to retain all your commissions as if they purchase through you via email or EDI, et cetera. But not only that, but we're going to give you an additional incentive. We're going to give you maybe an additional 1 percentage point commission or a half of a percentage point in commission for every single customer order that comes through one of our digital channels, whether that be, say, EDI, punch out, e-commerce, or if e-commerce is brand new to the business, then incentivizing sales that just come through the e-commerce channel can really get sales teams fired up and incentivized to help their customers get onboarded quickly into the e-commerce platform and start shifting more of those purchases to the e-commerce platform. We can also incentivize the customer. We can also incentivize the customer by saying, okay, well, it's going to be certain deals. They're going to be online only deals. If you place an order through your sales rep, you're going to get your standard sales price for your price list. But if you order online, we're going to have special promotions and special deals that are online only. Or you could do a blanket across the board incentive where you say, okay, we're going to give you an extra 1, 2, 3% off, or we're going to give you $100 off an order. We're going to do something special for you every single time you place an order through our e-commerce website. Mr. and Mrs. Customer, we're going to give you an additional bonus. We're going to give you free shipping, for example, on all web orders or something like that. So there's always ways to incentivize both internal and external adoption of these e-commerce platforms. You just have to go through a little bit of an exercise and see what's going to work best for your particular business model and your particular vertical. Okay, so what's the next one here? Making products more easily discoverable, which is a critical or important priority for 70% of respondents. And this goes back to what I said earlier, which is that many B2B products and categories are extremely complex. And so where somebody may have, sales rep may have emailed the customer a PDF of a spec sheet, for example, the customer now with modern e-commerce capabilities can log in. They can find that product, they can go to that product page, and they can download or view all the collateral directly right there. So they can download the spec sheets, they can download the PDFs, they can download the exploded drawings, they can download CSV files, they can see all the images, they can watch product videos, they can engage with those products right there, maybe a 360-degree view of the product directly on the product page. So what we're talking about here is easing the process of becoming educated about the product so that they can find the right product for their specific application and get it into their cart and pay for it as quickly as possible. That is the goal here. It is not to get them to the B2C and D2C world. Our focus is to keep customers on site as long as possible so that we can cross-sell them, so that we can upsell them, so that we can try to get these basket sizes to be bigger. In the B2B world, we're trying to remove friction from the purchasing process because these customers are buying as part of their day job. They have to do it. So the faster and easier we can make this, more friction-free we can make this, the more likely it is they are going to return to us over and over again to make that happen. Now, another finding here, B2B sellers can't achieve these goals, the top three that I just spoke about, including improving both demand gen, 75%, and their ability to collect and use zero-party data at 73%, without also improving data hygiene. The cart can't come before the horse. Wow, they used the terminology I just used before. Even though improving product data hygiene is sixth on the list of respondents' e-commerce goals, it is a prerequisite for achieving all other objectives. Now, I could go into this a little bit more. They provide a lot more data. They provide some data breakdowns. In other words, how important are each of the following e-commerce initiatives to your company in the coming year? And they break out basically the top part that I just spoke about now is basically summaries of all of these breakdowns of these specific data points that they found here. I'll just close off this particular episode with just a couple of more data points here that I think are really critical for B2B organizations to be considering right now. So approximately what percentage of B2B sales at your organization goes through each of the four options before? 24% go through the organization's non-e-commerce channels, e.g. customer service and sales. 17% go through self-service e-commerce. Only about, on average, 17% go through self-service e-commerce channels, i.e. no human interactions. Buyers can access content, support, scheduling, and purchasing on the website, chatbots, finding FAQs, etc. 27% will execute their transaction through assisted e-commerce, which is a B2B buyer that conducts research and browse on the website, but they often turn to customer service or a sales team seeking expert product recommendations or to negotiate a final price. So when we say assisted e-commerce, we're saying, okay, e-commerce and the e-commerce experience contributed to the sale, but they didn't execute the transaction through the e-commerce platform. And 32% had digitally enabled selling, e.g. B2B sellers use digital tools to enhance traditional analog sales channels. And this usually is in reference to something like a sales rep creating a quote, a specific quote for the customer in the e-commerce platform, and then the customer can come to the e-commerce platform, accept the quote, and execute the transaction from there. So that's roughly the breakdown. 24% non-e-commerce, 17% fully self-service e-commerce with no assistance from sales or customer service, 27% assisted e-commerce, and 32% digitally enabled selling. So e-commerce can help ease this process across every single mode of online and offline buying by B2B customers if the experience is enabled to do so. Hopefully this has been an interesting breakdown of some of the data that Forrester has found in their research of 413 decision makers at these large B2B brands doing over $200 million a year in e-commerce sales as of today. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll be back with you guys again soon. Are you a B2B or D2C e-commerce merchant? Then head over to greenwoodconsulting.net to learn how we can help you scale your business.